This morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 25, beginning to read at verse 14. It can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 994. Matthew 25, verse 14, the parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We've said it's been a very strange, very sad week. There's a real sadness. There's a real sadness whenever anyone dies, a human being made in God's image. But it's particularly sad when someone we love dies. And yet the strange thing for Christians is that when someone knows and loves the Lord Jesus and they die, it is really sad. And there's also something really wonderful about it. And what I want us to do this morning is think about where our hope is. What is wonderful? What is good news about the Queen's death? Because we have prayed for 70 years, haven't we? God save the Queen. And on Thursday, God answered that prayer. And there's a verse in the book of Hebrews that says, consider your leaders who preach the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So what I'm hoping this morning we're going to do is think about how we copy the Queen. Boys and girls, I don't know if you like playing Follow My Leader. You know, remember playing Follow My Leader? You know, I hop on one leg, you hop on one leg. I wave, you wave. I do my most handsome face and then you copy me. That, you know, we imitate someone. And the Bible says we're to imitate people who are good examples to us in that. And everything we know about the Queen tells us that she was a great example of that, wasn't it? There's a lovely thing she said a few years ago. "Jesus Christ lived obscurely for most of his life, never traveled far. He was maligned and rejected by many, though he'd done no wrong. And yet billions of people now follow his teaching and find in him the guiding light for their lives. I'm one of them." So why? How do we celebrate the Queen's life? How do we rejoice even in the sadness? And what I want to do is think about this parable that Jesus told, which is a very surprising story in lots of ways. Now, I could do with a couple of volunteers. Anyone want to volunteer? I'm going to give you money if you do it. You're going to have to give it back, or else I won't be able to play Monopoly. But can we pick on Scott? We can pick on Scott because he's our curate. He can't say no. Noah, are you going to come and help? Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? Can I have another volunteer? We need three servants. Thank you, Noah. Ben, are you going to come and give us a hand? You don't have to. Okay. Well, two servants will do. Oh, thank you, Elodie. Are you going to come on? Oh, we can have some more servants. You want Jesse? Jesse Jonas, if you want to come up as well, that's great. Okay. Darcy's coming up as well. Brilliant. Okay. So here's how the story goes. There's a man who is an extraordinary man who's going away on a journey. And he's got some... this is great. This man's got even more servants. This is great. Brilliant. Thanks, Harmony. Okay. So this man is going on a journey. And he gives his servants loads of money. You need to give this back, like I say, otherwise I won't be able to play Monopoly later. But, just for the sake of the illustration, right, we're going to give you loads and loads of money. All right? He gave the first servant, do we hear what it said? 5 talents. Sorry, there we go, guys. Anyone else? There we go. 5 talents. Now, a talent, our footnote here says several hundred pounds. That is wrong. Almost certainly wrong. A talent is about 20, 30 years worth of money, of income for a working class man in that culture. So let's say that's a talent, should we say $500,000, something like that in today's money, gives one of his servants, so that's about $3 million, gives another one about $1 million, another one $500,000. And they all go to work and they put that money to work. They start a business. Let's try this. Let's see if this is going to work. Guys, if you were going to start a business, what business would you start? What would you want to sell? What would you want to build? What would you want to make?
I would like to sell. I would like to sell lots of things for all of me in my tummy.
Lots of things that you could eat. Okay, all right. That might not be a very profitable business if you're running it that way, no. But yeah, Elodie, what would you want to make?
Gardening business.
A what business, sorry?
Gardening business.
A gardening business. That's a great idea. So your gardening business is going to make lots of money. There we go. You've doubled the money. Noah's made a bit more money. Anyone else going to start a business going to make some money?
I want to build a tower.
That sounds like a great business. Yep, yeah, it's going to make a lot more money as well. Anyone else? One more, maybe? Jesse. Gardening business sounds good. Now, you might have noticed there are lots of good and faithful servants here. There is one wicked, lazy servant over there. He is not so keen on his master. He does not like him very much. He is going to go and dig a hole, and he's just going to bury it. Look at how grumpy he looks. Look at how miserable and angry he is. You see, he's worked out this is a lose-lose situation for him. If he makes any money, the master's going to take it. If he loses the money, then he's just going to get in trouble. So, brilliant. Can we have a round of applause for the good and faithful servants? I don't think they're wicked, lazy servants. Okay, well done. Guys, can I have that? Because I have the money now. Thank you so much. Because that is what the master did. He came back from his journey and he took the money. Thank you very much. Well done, guys. The people have made. Let's put that down. Brilliant. Guys, you can go and sit down now. Oh, thanks, Noah. Thanks, Scott. You can sit down as well. Brilliant, guys. That's he took the money and he said to the servants who'd been... Oh, thank you very much. Who'd worked so hard. He said, verse 21, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." And I take it that on Thursday afternoon, the Queen, Her Majesty the Queen, heard those words directly from the lips of the Lord Jesus. I just would like us to take from that two things that I think really strike me about that verse, especially when we think about them in the life of the Queen. John, have we got the verse up there so we can just remember what we're talking about? Thank you very much. First thing I just want us to see is that every Christian is a servant, no exceptions. Every Christian is a servant, no exceptions. A servant to the most wonderful of masters, but every Christian is a servant. Now, I wonder if we could do a bit of thinking about where the about kind of who are the important people in society. So I've got I was going to hang them up on my hook, but that might take a while. Maybe a couple of folk might like to come and hold some up for me. Would the good and faithful servants like to come back and do another job, having just sat down? I didn't think this one through very carefully, did I? Well done. Okay. Well done, mate. I don't know your name. Okay, so Ed is a baron. Darcy, we'll keep that one for a moment. Would you like to be the housekeeper? Charlie, would you like to be the duke, Charlie? Would you like to be a viscount? Jessie, I think you were making an excellent scullery maid.
Okay, she cleans the house.
You can be a queen. Okay, can we hold it up nice and high? There we go. Now let's see if we can get these in the right order. So who do we think is going to be? We have the most important over here, down to the least important over here. Have we got a queen? Because I think that's fairly easy, isn't it? Queen. So, Chant, do you want to come over here? Well done. Okay, now queen is the easy one. Let's start over here. Who do we reckon comes next? So do you reckon a duke? Does a duke sound important or not so important? Duke sounds important? Yeah, okay, so we're going to shuffle the duke over here. A viscount, do we think a viscount is more important than a duke or less? Less, well done, less. So duke comes, viscount comes here. I've got to keep checking my notes on this, so I'm going to get this wrong. A baron, who's the baron? We've got a baron somewhere. Baron, brilliant. Do you want to come in? So baron comes after viscount. What about the earl? We've got an earl, brilliant. Over here, so the earl comes below the duke. Above the duke, sorry. Below the duke, between the duke. Yeah, we've got a duke here. I need to study to Brett's more carefully. Now, there we go. Does it feel like we're getting this anything like right? Brilliant. Well done, guys. Elodie, you're going to come here. All right. Then we've got the valet. Where does the valet come in the house? Does the valet come to the valet? We've got a housekeeper here. Maybe you have kind of a valet down here. Butler above the valet.
Yeah.
Butler above the valley, and right at the bottom, we've got the scullery maid. The scullery maid can stay in her place. Brilliant. Okay, now here's the question. When we put a dividing line in here between people who are served and people who do the serving, where would we naturally think of the line? Where is the servant? When do you stop being a servant? When do you become someone who is served, someone who is important? I know our culture has changed over the years, but that kind of upstairs, downstairs, Downton Abbey thing, we know how it works, don't we? So what do we reckon? Where's the line gone? The butler. So between the butler and the nobility, we draw a line, don't we? You're either someone who serves or you are served. And if there was anyone in our culture who could be forgiven for turning around and saying, look, I'm not here as a servant. There's some mistake. Everyone around here bows and curtsies to me. I'm the one who is served. Wouldn't it be the queen? Wouldn't we expect the queen to be the one who could turn around and say, no, everyone else is my servant. I've got 70 million subjects. What was the remarkable thing about the queen? The thing the BBC kept picking up the other day, it was her humility. What did she know that we've forgotten as a culture in so many ways? That the line is not here. The line is here. Who is the one who is to be served? It is the living God. Who are the servants? It's the rest of us. And then astonishing. Oh, Elodie, thank you very much. You've seen where I'm going with this. What is the amazing thing when the Son of God himself comes to earth? Where does he put himself? Does he put himself above the line? Does he put himself right at the top of the line? Now, amazingly, the Bible says the Son of God himself came not to be served, but to serve. So the astonishing thing is, as we read this parable, there is a master, and we are his servants. That is a fundamental part of our identity. So, thanks, Scott. Should we put that down my hands? Now, we're going to sing of what it's like to follow this king. The question I want to ask us, as we pause for a moment, It's just this: have we seen that that is the fundamental reality of the universe? That have we seen what our Queen saw? Have we seen what our King Jesus saw? That our identity is to serve the Creator God who made us. Brilliant. Good and faithful servants. That is a great job. Thank you very much. You want to give those back to Scott? And we're going to sing. Lynn is going to come up and help us with some actions. So do you guys want to go and find grown-ups again? If you want to stay up, that'd be great. What have I done with it? King Charles's title. He is now King Charles III, by the grace of God, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of his other realms and victories, realms and territories, King, head of the Commonwealth, defender of faith. King Charles is king over all kinds of places, a huge area. But with Jesus, it's much simpler. He's just the ruler of everything. So we've seen that this astonishing thing. Everyone, without any exception, every Christian is a servant. And isn't it amazing that the Queen knew that? She was, the BBC kept saying the other day, she was so humble, was so surprised. It was, you just wouldn't expect that of a monarch. I read an article yesterday about Mohammed bin Salman, ruler of Saudi Arabia. You suggest to him that he, in any meaningful sense, is a servant of the people, I think he'd be deeply offended and probably cut your head off. The Queen knew what it was to be a servant. But the amazing thing about this passage is that it says that Jesus is a master who loves to praise his servants. Jesus is a master who loves to praise his servants. You think there's got to be some mistake there. Because if there is an arrow of praise, we say, which direction should praise go in? Well, as a church, we know the answer. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to be someone who loves to praise the living God. The arrow is meant to go up from us. The astonishing thing about this parable is it says the master, that the Lord, the ruler, loves to praise us. Isn't that strange? And so look at what happens when the master comes back and he takes the money that his servants have made. He just, without being rude to his servants, he really doesn't care about that money, does he? They've worked so hard for him. And he doesn't care. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. You've been faithful in a little, as if 6 million quid is a small thing. Can you imagine Her Majesty turns up in the, before the Lord Jesus, stands before the throne, and he says, well done. You've been faithful in a small thing. Being one of the richest women in the world, having 70 million subjects, that's a small thing. Come and share in your master's happiness. Now we're going to do something that's really worthwhile. Something really, really serious. And isn't it wonderful how different Jesus praises to the kind of praise that we normally get or give? See, if you're at school, you know the kind of things you get praised for. So I've got a letter here, Mr. Simon Tompkins, 1 Wilbraham's Walk. If you're clever, people will praise you, won't they? So I've got one here, AQA. From the AQA exam board, GCSE, you got a 1. And it says, we only gave you 1 because we were feeling sorry for you. Okay, so if you're clever, you get praise, but what if you're not clever? Or I've got one here, Mr. Simon Tompkins, 1 Wilbraham's Walk. This is the North Staff's Beauty Competition. Dear Mr. Tompkins, thank you for your entry. Ha, 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 ha. That's a bit cruel, isn't it? See, people will praise you if you're beautiful. People will praise you if you're sporty, but what if you're not? But what does Jesus care about? He cares about our faithfulness. He cares about whether we've been loyal to him. Have we worked hard for him? And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. He praises so generously despite all the mistakes we made. We mustn't idolize the Queen. She was a sinner like the rest of us. She got all kinds of things wrong through the years. She knew that. And yet God could still say, well done, good and faithful servant, to someone like her. And see, what is the wicked servant's mistake? The wicked, lazy servant thought that the master was cruel, thought he was harsh, thought he was unfair. He had 500,000 of this guy's money buried in his own garden, and he thought he was stingy. What has this guy got so wrong? It is just a lovely picture of the Lord Jesus, that he is a master who loves to praise his servant. And he's so generous. You know when you feel really happy about something? Boys and girls, can you think of a time when you felt really happy about something? Maybe it was your birthday. Maybe it was your baptism day. Maybe you're kind of daydreaming about winning scoring the winning goal in the World Cup final. The Bible says it's a little bit like taking a drop of happiness, a little sip of water. What the master says in this parable literally is, enter into your master's happiness. So instead of having a few drops of happiness enter into you, you are entering into happiness. It's like jumping into a swimming pool of happiness. What a joy to share in the master's joy. And I love this. Did you notice, as Jean read out for us so helpfully, there is no difference in the words that are spoken to the two faithful servants? Verse 21, if you've got it open, and verse 23 are exactly the same. So the guy, one is given 3 million and he doubles it. Another guy is given much less, he doubles it. Isn't that wonderful? Just think of our last funeral as a church family, that Jeff Mainwaring and Her Majesty the Queen both heard exactly the same words. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that's an invitation to us as well, to work hard for the Lord Jesus. This is in the context of parables about waiting for Jesus. This is a parable about working for Jesus. I just want to encourage us to make this the great goal of our lives. I remember years ago hearing about one man who said he lived his whole life to hear those two words, well done. His whole life would have been a success. It would have been worth it, whatever he went through, to hear those two words, well done. I remember thinking, that's what I want. That's what I want for myself. It's what I want for my family. It's what I long for us as a church family. And if we were given one prayer, the living God is not a genie. We're not restricted in prayers for Darcy this morning. But if we only had one prayer for Darcy, that would be a good prayer, wouldn't it? That at the end of her life, she would hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And the terrible alternative for all of us is there in verse 30. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, what did that servant do wrong? What did he do wrong? He wasn't a murderer. He wasn't a thief. What did he do? His problem was he did nothing. That's it. He did nothing. Because in his heart, he despised the master and he hated him. So what is the answer? If we're worried to ourselves, maybe that's me. Maybe I don't love the master, the Lord Jesus. What was the secret of the mistake the wicked, lazy servant made compared with the good and faithful servants? He just didn't know what his master was really like. He couldn't see what he was really like. And just as we close, I just want to point out one great blessing that the Queen has left us. See, all over the world, people look at their rulers, and if they believe in God, they assume that if there is a God, he is like that, just a bit bigger. So if you live in Nazi Germany, you look at Hitler, and it'd be very natural to imagine God is like Hitler, but a bit bigger, or Stalin, or Kim Jong-un, or MBS. And if your ruler is cruel, or corrupt, or hypocritical, or incompetent, it'd be natural, wouldn't it, in many ways, to look at your ruler and assume that God is like that. Aren't we privileged that we look at our ruler, and our ruler has, to the best of her ability, been a kind of pale reflection of what the living God is like in so many ways? It struck me, I'm told the Queen used to kneel by her bedside every night to say her prayers. Who was she praying for? Of course we don't know, but I think we can guess that at some level she was praying for us. We've lost a monarch who is praying for us. The Bible tells us we have a king, the Lord Jesus, who prays for us. We have a servant king. And the plot twist that no one ever saw coming, that the glorious, the generous, the powerful ruler is the one who himself becomes the good and faithful servant. Amen.